I think the most drastic change is where the focus lies. We are now focused on meeting our learners where they are. I feel like before, we led a lot of horses to water. You know, we had a lot of pools. Here's the ocean. Come on in. We've got information over here. But now we're making it rain.
You're listening to Learning Leader Spotlight, interviews with corporate L&D leaders. On each episode, we sit down with key industry experts to discover more about what's happening in the world of learning and development, from current trends and insights to the most valuable lessons learned along the way. Join us for a fresh perspective on all things training and the best direction forward.
Welcome to the Learning Leader Spotlight, where we interview the learning leaders of today to help the learning leaders of tomorrow. I'm your guest host, Lori Thancher, and I'm a relationship manager with Training Pros, who is the sponsor of this podcast. Training Pros is a learning and development contract staffing company. We like to say, when you have more projects than people, let us help you pick the best consultant so that you can start your project with confidence. Today, we are going to be talking with Molly Fields of TCC. Welcome, Molly.
Hello, Lori. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
So I'm excited to be on today. I do work with TCC and Wireless Zone. I'm the Senior Director of Learning and Development for Wireless Zone and TCC. We're Verizon retailers, so we sell telecommunication products and services nationwide in over 1,200 retail locations. My current job is to create engaging resources that support our customer experience throughout our stores, refining behaviors of our sales teams and our leadership teams. So I'm excited to come here and talk to you guys.
Awesome. Well, we're very thrilled to have you. So just to kick things off, we like to ask this question of everyone. What about L&D drew you to this field?
I'm a lifelong learner and educator. I have always wanted to be a teacher, you know, and even when I was a kid, I was playing teacher. So I went to college, got my degree in education. But what really attracted me to career and professional skill education was the depth of the concepts. Teaching is even more fun when you're challenged with relaying complex concepts like emotional intelligence, you know, and things like that. And it's even more challenging, which translates to more fun for me, to get people to learn when they're trying not to. They're trying to earn, right? They're here to earn, not learn. In school, when you're a teacher, they're a captive audience, right? They're there to learn. But it's such a challenge when learning isn't the end goal, right? It's just a step in the process of the end goal. And to be part of a process in business is significantly different. The overall strategy for learning, for educating, for internalizing and applying concepts is drastically different in a work environment versus a schooling environment. You collaborate with a variety of different kinds of stakeholders, from product stakeholders to behavior stakeholders. And it's a rapidly changing environment in retail, you know, as opposed to traditional education, which you're teaching things that have happened for always. This is a new product every 6 months in wireless. This is new features, new benefits, new services. It's always cutting edge. So I got attracted to L&D because of the adult concepts, because of the challenges that are in place, the roadblocks that are in place. That excites me. That gives me something to go after. So, lot of dynamic collaboration opportunities in L&D. That's why I was really attracted to this field as a professional. It ticks a lot of boxes for me.
Awesome. Yeah, I can hear it in your voice. Yeah, we're kindred spirits that way, no doubt, Molly. So what are the most impactful changes you've seen in L&D just in the last few years?
Oh my gosh, Lori, so many changes. Like, there are so many changes happening right now. The L&D industry, I think, is probably the most exciting industry out there. Everything is changing constantly. From when I first entered the workforce and how I learned to do my job with them wheeling in that TV with the VCR and how to make the sandwich at my restaurant, right? To today, we're on iPads, we're on their cell phones, we're in their pockets. It's just innovative all the time. And of course, the buzzword right now, AI, How exciting is that, right? How much more efficient can we be? I think the most drastic change, let me put it that way, the most drastic change I've seen is where the focus lies. We are now focused on meeting our learners where they are. I feel like before, we led a lot of horses to water. You know, we had a lot of pools. Here's the ocean. Come on in. We've got information over here. But now we're making it rain. We're just pouring information wherever you're at. You don't have to find a river, a lake, a stream. We are going to come to you. The information you need will be there when you need it. And that's something I really like. I like that concept changing. It's no longer come to school. It's more like you live and learn while you live. So I like that. I also have been really energized about the funification versus gamification concepts. When the millennials hit the workforce, you know, we love to talk about these generations, like they're so very different, but they are. They communicate differently. We interact with different technologies. We manage our lifestyles differently. And our generations are changing more rapidly with the new technologies. As someone in wireless, I know, right? The way we communicate changes every month, every week, right? New viral memes and lingo and all comes out constantly. So we talk about the millennials needing the gamification. Everybody wants a trophy, right? Everybody wants to be seen and acknowledged and recognized and rewarded for their efforts, right? So that was the millennial generation. We want the badges, the Xbox generation. We want the experience points. Now we're running into Gen Z. And while people may find that challenging, ooh, I find it exciting. I deeply appreciate this younger workforce. I feel like we're going beyond customized into personalized. I think our youngest employees are the most elite professionals we have ever experienced in our workforce, which is why we're so off-put. But these young professionals are better equipped than any other entry generation before. They have higher self-awareness, higher self-advocacy. They know what they want to do, how they want to do it, why they want to do it. I think that while it can be jarring for our older workforce and our established L&D teams, it creates entry-level workforce that is engaged in new ways. They don't want your pizza parties. They don't want your internal badges without any context. Like, what does this mean in my life? You know, it's just, I got a badge. Because what they're looking for is fulfillment, understanding, connection. And we as L&D professionals, we're the ones that can provide that. I think a lot of the times we see people maintaining status quo or maybe reluctant to change because what worked for them should work for everyone. And they're not wrong. What worked for you will work for everyone. But there are better ways. So opening your mind to that, we've seen so many behavior changes, communication changes, that the next 5 to 10 years, it's going to be really exciting to be on that cutting edge. So I'm ready.
That's awesome. I'm riding that wave with you. I love hearing about the focus that you've had, especially on the younger workers that are coming into the workforce. So thinking about everything that you just said and what we're experiencing now in L&D, what are you expecting going into the next 5 to 10 years? What can we expect in L&D going into the next 5 and 10 years?
I would say if you want to keep your finger on the pulse of what may be coming next, you stay online, right? Go to your local TCC or Verizon, your wireless own store, go to your local Verizon retailer and get into the newest technology, right? Staying up to date with the smartwatches, with the tablets, with the tech that's out there, because that is how the newer generation is really managing their lifestyles. What I think, in my opinion here, in the next 5 to 10 years is that we're going to see communication shifts. I would believe our generational conflicts, right? Our generational divides are going to be bridged through the funification. When we take the current communication social science and apply that to our delivery methods for L&D, that's where we're going to find success. This is what's exciting. A lot of our older generation in the workforce, our boomers, our Gen Xers that are out there, they prefer that traditional education methodology. They prefer certifications, module learning, taking notes. That's how we have been conditioned to learn. So that's what feels good and feels formal. Then we have our millennials and elder Gen Zs that are really more into the informal, but they do still want some recognition, some experience points, some growth, some point A to point B experiences, but they can be more semi-formal. And then we finally have our youngest workforce, which we are actively recruiting. We want our 18s to 25-year-olds to come into our stores and work with us. And that generation is looking for informal education that meets them where they are. So really, we're serving as L&D professionals three different communication styles. We're beyond learning styles, right? We're beyond haptic, visual, audio. We're now towards communication styles. How do you take in information in a more complex way? Because now we can personalize it through our own technologies, right? You can have your own cell phone read you a document. You don't have to have the L&D department provide that resource for you. So now they have their learning styles. They're self-advocates. They know what they need and they have the technology to get it for themselves. So what we need to provide them is a reason to look at what we're making. And a lot of the older generation can see some of the stuff we generate for our younger employees as flippant or not serious or silly. But the reality is that's how we engage our youngest employees. Our older generation thinks our younger generation can't pay attention, doesn't want to work, right? They only want to watch TikTok videos for 60 seconds. But if we actually sit down and study the behaviors of the younger generation on TikTok, yeah, they're watching 60-second to 120-second videos, but they're watching them for 4 to 6 hours on 3 to 5 categories. They're taking in small snippets of the same type of information. This is also the same generation that can watch an entire season of a show like it's a 15-hour movie. It's the same concept, and they're the same characters, and they can engage with something for long and extended periods of time. This is the binging generation. It's not the quick hit generation. We're misinterpreting the behaviors. Pervasive learning is going to be changing. These students, these younger kids, these younger employees, they pop-ups don't work. Banners don't work. They now close pop-ups without even reading what was in it. We have to think this is the generation that was brought up with the internet as we know it today, right? We grew up with it and we saw it change and evolve. They got the mature product. So those banners, those pop-ups that we accidentally click on, they're not. So that pervasive learning systems need to be reworked. The gamification systems need to be reworked. You don't want to be that meme of, oh, I got a pizza party. Here's my little trophy. You know, so you have to stay up to date with that. This is the generation that doesn't gather, they hunt. They seek for specific information. They know how to use search engines masterfully. They know how to prune out sponsored information, ads, fake news, bots. They are highly literate in information searching. So that's where we really need to lean in as L&D professionals, provide engaging, easy to find content. Nowadays, plastering it onto a repository or a portal page, they are not going to explore. They don't click to explore. If they have to seek, they will not find. So you have to make them want to search for a specific need. As a Gen Zer, you're going to sit there and say, I know what I need. I have self-efficacy. I need this skill. I will search for this skill. They're not going to go shop at a buffet. That's not how they interact with the internet. That's not how they gather critical information. And we need to make it funny. Okay, guys, we need to have a good time. We're not that serious. These are people that are getting their critical news and information from last week tonight and the Daily Show. They're getting it from their favorite TikTok influencers and their interpretations of what's happening now. They're expecting an engaging conversation with the concepts. And you can do that through humor. And that, luckily, I have discovered, is also the bridge through the generations. If you use spoof humor that is within the zeitgeist of the past decade, you can really connect a lot of different generations through pop culture references. For example, we did sales discovery games, but we launched it as if a spoof from the Hunger Games. You know, so then the older generation, they still recognize Hunger Games. The younger generation recognizes Hunger Games. It's funny, but there are skills that you get from it. So the older generations can appreciate it, and then the younger generations stay engaged with it. We're moving away from module learning and creating more of a streaming or binge experience. So we just finished Bumble and Grumble Make Sales, Best Practices and Worst Practices. Now we have episode one, you know. Keep watching for episode two. You know, so it becomes a binging experience where they can stay engaged with the same characters throughout the entire process. So trying to mimic that, we're changing our verbiage. So we're saying things like Bumble and Grumble now streaming on Wireless Zone University. Watch today. No longer saying enroll. We're saying watch, engage, stream. And this is where that personalization can come in, allowing them the ability to personally seek what they know they need and making sure that that content's there in a flavor that makes sense to the audience that finds it. That's the key. And I'm so excited about that. We're currently working on a Twilight Zone training for our systems. You're in the Spock zone now, single point of contact zone. Things like that. And it makes my job more fun when I can be creative and a little bit silly and don't take it so serious. But you got to meet everybody where they are. And I think that's what's most exciting in the next few years.
Yes, definitely. I love that you have that passion to meet the young folks where they are and that you're coming up with all these creative ideas and ways to do that. And I'm sure that some of this information is going to be really new and enlightening to some folks who are just looking for answers on how to connect with the younger generation in the learning environment. So thank you for sharing that.
This episode is brought to you by Training Pros, the award-winning contract staffing agency that works exclusively with learning and development professionals to match the right consultants to client projects. If you're in corporate L&D and have more projects than people, let the industry practitioners at Training Pros provide you with the right L&D consultant to start your project with confidence. Find out how we make finding quality consultants easy by scheduling a consultation at www.trainingpros.com.
Cool follow-up question. Who is your most professional, influential mentor?
Honestly, my mom. Okay, my mom. I know it's, you know, she, no matter what craziness is going on in the world, in my life, and in the workday, I know I can call my mom and she'll keep me grounded. When the world is hard, nothing makes sense. I don't know who I can trust, you know, but what's even happening? You call your mom, right? And mom's there to say, now, remember who you are. Remember where you're from. And remember who you want to be.
I love that. I love that. I'm always telling my kids, remember who you are. I think that's very grounding.
It is. It really brings you right back to the ground because it's so easy to get swept away. And again, the rapid pace of society today, not just professionally, but personally, you know, and the social media and the everything's and information just constantly coming in, you can get lost. You can get swept away. And that, again, is a we need to look at our younger workforce and how are they coping, right? Because I get swept away and their coping mechanisms, their strategies can help everyone manage stress, their notification management is on point. They know exactly, like, this app can notify me, this app can't, this, you know, during these hours I'm notified and during these hours I can't. I'm not good at shutting that stuff off yet. I'm still working on it, you know, setting those kind of electronic boundaries. And things like that. So staying grounded, staying mindful, staying present isn't more important. It's just harder to do now. It's always been important. So whoever your mentor is, whoever your rock is, it really needs to be somebody that can help you put your feet back on the ground and say, you are you. No matter what situation you're put into or the intersectionality of the moment, you are you. You are loved. You are valuable. You are worthy, no matter if you don't even produce anything today. Just existing is enough. So in this day and age where everything feels like either a massive win or a massive fail, and everything is swinging into extremes from good, bad, and indifferent, having somebody or a network or somebody that can pull you to the ground to remind you you're valuable just being you. That's what you need.
I love that. Thank you, Molly. Yeah. I'm sure that will resonate with a lot of folks. So in thinking about everything that you've just shared with us, gosh, you've got my wheels spinning. I'm sure you have our listeners' wheels spinning. Thinking about going forward and your own team and work that you have ahead, what are the skills that you or role that you find it hard, that you are having the hardest time finding right now?
I would say my hardest position to fill right now in the environment that I've created at L&D is instructional designer. Because I am generating content that's a little bit outside of that traditional box, right? So we're doing interesting things, different things. And so a lot of the times I've seen my designers come in, maybe get a little uncomfortable. They want to do things the traditional way or a status quo way. And we're kind of like, we're going to film this on a cell phone real quick. And then I'm going to post this out there, you know, because really having rough content or really relatable content resonates differently than having polished content, things like that. So getting outside of that box, you got to find people that are willing to go exploring with you. And so instructional designer has been something that's been difficult to get the right flavor of person, right? The right personality that's wanting to be on that edge. I had to really get away from the traditional graphic designer. So what I started to seek was passionate people, creative people, sales people, and less traditional graphic. Yeah, I'm sure it's necessary when you're talking, you know, external marketing and where eyes land and the merchandising. And that's so very important. But when we're only communicating internally, I need someone that's like, done is better than perfect. Let's get it out. Let's meet them where they are. I need someone excited and that's ready to try something they've never tried before, to do something that they've never seen done before and fail. And to be okay failing at it and to throw something out that everybody's like, nope, hate it, and then rework it and go again. I need resiliency. I need enthusiasm. I need creativity. So I'm looking for fluidity, flexibility, adaptability. And a lot of the times you have artists that get very rigid in what they know works. And so I found instructional designers and really flexible instructional designers are the key to success for this. So we have a small team of three in our content generation team, and we've had some churn there. I think we finally got the team that is in place, and they came from all over. We have our manager who is educated in graphic design, but we have our instructional designer that used to be one of our district managers, and then I have an instructional designer that used to be one of our IT support team. So I started to look in out-of-the-box places for people to design instruction. I had to almost convince them. I'm like, I know. They're like, I don't do this. I'm like, I know, but what you do is what I want. And I know you don't think you're a designer, but we can get there. And we have been able to create literally award-winning content. So I would challenge any L&D leader out there, get outside of the hiring box too. Look for the skills, not for the experience. And you're going to create something brand new.
Awesome. And congratulations on some of those awards that you've won recently. Very proud.
Good season for us this year.
That's amazing. That's really amazing. Very non-traditional approach to things, but I'm glad it's working out for you. And maybe that's what we need more of, is thinking out of the box, less structure. So what is your favorite source to go to for industry news in our field. Where do you go? Where does Molly go?
Well, I go to Chief Learning Officer Magazine for sure. So that is a robust network of learning professionals that provide a lot of different kinds of experiences. I've been able to go to events for them. I get newsletters. I get a lot of information and articles, but also I get the awards through Chief Learning Officer Magazine. So this year we did win two awards. We won Learning Elite Silver, ranked 13th, lucky number 13. And we did win Gold Medal for Learning and Practice Business Impact Award from CLO. And what I love about those awards, though it's a hard application process, let me tell you, but you get a rubric of feedback from a panel of industry professionals that look at your strategy, your philosophy, your content, your return on investment, your measurement strategies, your success KPIs, and they provide you with detailed comments, suggestions, best practices. They help you spot gaps you didn't, you know, you may not have. So while I feel like I have a strong and innovative, you know, learning and development program for our wireless teams and our most cutting edge, youngest professionals, I can't say I built that just from this noggin, right? I got it from learning through Chief Learning Officer Magazine, working through their awards. When we started 4 years ago applying for that award, we were in 39th place. So the growth comes from taking the feedback, being willing, not only willing, excited to change, to throw out that bathwater and the baby and the tub if this makes more sense, right? So not being afraid. So Chief Learning Officer Magazine is a huge place to go. I would suggest everyone, even though I don't necessarily want more competition for myself, I would suggest everyone apply for those awards because you do get good information back. I would also suggest joining networking groups. So I'm part of like a frontline innovators networking group where I get so many amazing ideas. So find forums, find networking groups with other L&D and HR professionals, because there's no new idea under the sun, right? So somebody's out there doing something really interesting. On my frontline innovators group this week, I just had somebody say that they were doing their infographics through comic strips. What? I never thought about that before. And, you know, in L&D, just steal it, right? So I'm going to start doing comic strips. Everyone should. I mean, that's a great way to connect quick hit information in a way that just stays stuck, that the retention would be so much better. So I'm constantly looking for new ideas, different ideas, connecting with professionals through LinkedIn, through podcasts like this, going to the on conferences is amazing. I love all of those conferences, having those kinds of discussions and those notes that keep your brain open. Whatever it is, just constantly be seeking new information. You can't be a teacher unless you're a learner. So connect anywhere you can.
Awesome. Awesome. You're busy.
Yeah.
So if the last question for you, what book would you recommend that anyone who is looking into moving into the L&D leadership role, what book must they read?
Well, there's about six, but I'm going to say the one book that I would argue every human should read. I don't care if you're going into L&D leadership or what position you're going, is this one. You Are Now Less Dumb. As you see, I have lots of tabs. This book I have read multiple times. This is You Are Now Less Dumb, How to Conquer Mob Mentality, How to Buy Happiness, and All the Other Ways to Outsmart Yourself by David McCraney. This book I read changed everything. This is not a professional development book. This is an instruction manual for humanity. This tells you the hardwired reactions and responses that the brain does. It creates understanding and concepts and the ways that you can get people to learn and engage with not just resources, but with each other, the way you can resolve conflicts, the reason people feel the way they do or react the way they do. You get such deep insight into the why behind the what happens, if that makes sense. So I highly recommend You Are Now Less Dumb. And honestly, anything by David McCraney. He said, You Are Not So Smart, You Are Now Less Dumb, and How Minds Change. And I would suggest any of those books. It's really fascinating. You're going to learn a lot about yourself, and you're going to learn a lot about how to interact with everyone around you and how to maybe not react when other people are exhibiting some behaviors.
Oh, awesome. I'm going to have to check him out. That is definitely a first. I haven't heard of him before. So I'm excited about checking out that new book. As we wrap up today, thank you so much for appearing on our Learning Leader Spotlight. I really appreciate it. I know I have been immensely rewarded by it already, and I know our listeners will too. On behalf of Training Pros, we would like to plant, or we are going to plant, 5 trees in your name.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Of course. How exciting. So our charity is World Reforestation. As a token of our gratitude for appearing today on our show, we will be planting 5 trees in your name. So thank you so much for your time today, for all your valuable wisdom, and thank you so much for being a part of Learning Leader Spotlight.
Oh, you are so welcome. Thank you so much for the space and having this conversation with me. I love, as you could tell, I love to talk shop. This is the kind of stuff that excites me. And the fact that you guys allow me to contribute through your charity and to do those trees, I mean, that's such a big deal and it means so much. So thank you. I deeply appreciate it.
Of course. Of course. And that's it for today's session of Learning Leader Spotlight.
Thanks for joining us for the latest episode of Learning Leader Spotlight, interviews with corporate L&D leaders. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned on today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode and leave us a 5-star review.